though you thought it was safe and forgot what you told us. I tell you, Joseph, a traumatized soldier. Don't look in my face, I might snap up my face. If I'm out of the place, give me that much you don't put. Drop that to focus, drop that like this. I'm gonna look like a poster. I might slip my wrist on pretend like a poster. And jump up this.
Yo, I'm the one who made you get on the dance floor and say to your pants tore. So far to keep you clap your hands for. The one they call Big L, I'm hot as hell. I'm living swell, my name's ringing bells. Can't you tell? So grab the old wet and take a sip. I stay looking dip, mics are ripped, but don't flip. We on a party tip. I just so loose on tracks that I produce. MCs be frontin' mad hard, but got no juice. I'm not the type that strikes out when I pull mics out. Violate L when it's lights out. And if you got no skills on the mic, you order dabs. Slap us that sort of trash, nigga yell. More than fast, I'm getting high rates in all states, making pace with the crew call. I'm a rap crowd amazer, microphone blazer. Big Al is the man with the unexpected flavor.
Once again, it's the man with the flavor. Once again, it's the man with the flavor. Once again, it's the man with the flavor.
Big Al is the man with the unexpected flavor. Now when I'm on the stage, microphones are locked tight. The Big Al rock right when I'm in the spotlight. You know I'm a young gap rapper that dress well. Phones are XLs and ladies wanna sex L. Because my raps are real raw. I'm hard as a steel door with skills most of these are killed for. I'm known for grabbing the mic and dropping a raw rhyme. The guns have been at four times, so give me more props, I want all mine. Battles I refuse to lose, I choose to lose. Moves like the blues, I never hear woos since I abuse. In 93 I'm blowing up like dynamite. And don't think I can't fight because I'm kind of light. L's a teenage boy with that mix beard. Seems to be sensitive, you got no wrist here. I play MCs like a game of Sega, cause I'm poetic, and this is the unexpected flavor.
Once again, it's the man with the flavor. Once again, it's the man with the flavor. Once again, it's the man with the flavor. Once again, it's the man with the flavor. Once again, it's the man with the flavor. Once again, it's the man with the flavor. Once again, it's the man with the flavor. Once again,
The Omen Agency presents the Hip Hop Town Hall. Join Renee Gardner and myself, Fort Knox, the last Wednesday of the month to talk about the real issues in the hip hop community.
From industry politics to business entrepreneurship to the state of hip hop, we talk about it all. Come down to the Omen Agency at 299 Peter Street, Atlanta, Georgia, 30313 for the Hip Hop Town Hall.
No admission or RSVP necessary. For more information, visit omenagency.com.
Are now tuned into K100 Radio, Hip Hop and R&B.
What's happening, good people?
What's happening?
Got a special treat for y'all right now. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to K100 Radio. www.changeentertainment.com. That's our website. Hit us up. Follow us on our social media at K100_radio. All right, hit us up. Do that now. You can communicate with us there. I actually check my social media. Really, for real, for real. Like, that's actually a person. Not a, you know, that you actually talk to and they actually respond. I follow back. All the good stuff. I'm not a social media snob. All right? I holler back. 347-934-0966. That's the number to dial to the show. 347-934-0966. That's the number to dial to the show. I'm doing a direct line artist interview, and I'm getting ready to set it off, but this is a rather unique version of that, because the person that I'm getting ready to talk to is not only an artist, and also an artist that's not producing music in a genre that we play a lot over here at K100 Radio. But all that aside, I met this person. I actually started to communicate with this person, not because of her music, actually. I communicated with this person because I read an article that she wrote. And the article hit me so hard that I reached out to her and I said, I'd love for you to come on K100 Radio and talk about what you said in your article. So I'd like to welcome to K100 Radio for the first time, Ms. Doria Roberts. Welcome. How you doing,
baby? Good. How you doing? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I hear you fine. You're coming through crystal clear. Thank you.
Perfect.
Thank you. Absolutely. Welcome to K100 Radio. And this is my first introduction. This is my first time actually hearing your voice. We've got this amazing invention called the internet that kind of cuts all that out for, you know, a while. Sometimes you don't meet people and talk to them face to face for a long time. Sometimes you don't even hear their voice, and you feel like you kind of know them a little bit. Well, at least you had a formal introduction, kind of sort of an internet introduction, I like to call it.
Mm-hmm.
But welcome to the show. And
thank you.
Of all, I'd like to let you go ahead and start off by saying exactly where you hail from and a little bit about yourself before we get into everything that we're going to talk about right now.
Okay. Well, I was born in Trenton, New Jersey, but I went to school in Philly, and then I moved to Atlanta in 1996. So I've been here a minute. I've been here about 18 years. So I started my music in Philly, and I didn't actually start doing music until my senior year in college, so I was 21.
Right.
So I was sort of a late bloomer on that whole thing. And, started right after school, started in the Philadelphia music scene, and then moved here, not really for music, just for, you know, to help my cousin out with something she was going through, and wound up staying. I won an open mic, won $1,000, which is a lot of money when you're 24 and don't have any money, so I used it to relocate here, and I just stayed, you know. I tour internationally, tour the country, Canada, Europe, and Australia, Japan, completely independent, and have stayed that way on purpose, actually. That's pretty much it. I release all my own records. I have seven projects out, and I'm re-releasing the last project that I put out, which is a tribute to a folk singer named Odetta. And I'll be re-releasing that in August.
And speaking of that, what you just said, your genre of music is folk. And I know a lot of people are like, you know, understand this in the area, so we can say what you don't have to really watch.
Yeah.
You have to just say what you don't. So a lot of people are, you know, listen, what the fuck, folk?
Right.
Someone look up, right? Look up your music, tag Facebook page, and they went to your Facebook page, and they hit me on the inbox like, bro, what the hell?
What are you doing?
Who
that woman?
Listen, I said read the article. I said the article.
Yeah,
was what,
yeah.
And then I discovered her music. First of all, let me say this to anybody that's listening. I don't care what genre of music you do. I really don't. When it comes down to you actually being successful as an independent artist, I respect anyone from any genre who at some point in their time lived off their music, who at some point in their time toured nationally and overseas and internationally. Your people don't even understand how hard that is. If you think it's hard to become Jay-Z or Beyonce, that's winning the lottery type stuff. But it's hard to even get to that level as an independent artist where you're actually making thousands of dollars off your music, where you're actually getting constant revenue off your music. People don't understand that in itself is an accomplishment as an independent artist. As an artist, period. Just getting to that point right there, I don't think many people realize the millions of artists who don't even get to that level, you know,
mm-hmm.
and work their ass off and don't even get to that level. That level is hard to get to, and that level takes a lot of work. So, you know, the other sport that you see on TV and the glamour and glitz of it all, again, that's like winning the lottery, you know?
Yeah.
So
that's like 1% of all music being made ever. So it's really on the far end of what I would call success. It's, you know, making a living it's a job. So I'm making a living, and that's as far as successful, being successful, that's what that means to me. But as far as the folk thing, you know, I'll address that real quick for, you know, for people who are like, what is she doing on this show? And I grew up with rap. I mean, I'm going to date myself. I'm 43. So I've been here a minute. I was there when, you know, MTV came on air. You know, I was 10 years old. And I grew up in New Jersey, like I said. So all the music that was coming out of the Bronx and Queens, Tribe Called Quest, BDP, DJ. I remember when DJ Scott LaRock was murdered. I was in high school, I think. I was just starting high school, maybe. Poor Righteous Teachers are from Trenton, where I was born. So I come from that tradition. I
right.
just don't perform that tradition. But that's, you know, folk music and rap and hip-hop are pretty much, you know, I say this in interviews all the time because you know, I'm also a black woman playing folk music, which puts me in another, you know, tier as far as, you know, folks and the, you know, stuff I have to deal with just in the folk, you know, genre and venues and stuff. I have to explain to people that folk music and hip hop and rap are the same because we talk about what's going on. And that's where, you know, my philosophy and the message and all that stuff, Poor Righteous Teachers, what they were talking about, and the history of just R&B too, like Teddy Pendergrass and Marvin Gaye, we come from a very long, rich line of people talking about social issues, and that's all folk is. It just sounds different, and that's the only difference, and I'm more comfortable, you know, I grew up in the church too, and I don't sing like those women in the church. I'm not trying to sing like those women in the church. And folk music just allows me to play my guitar, write the songs that I want to write, sing how I want to sing, dress how I want to dress, and let me be myself. That's the genre of music that I feel most comfortable in. I don't have to be anybody but myself. And so it's definitely, you know, it's not a shtick and it's not something that I came up with. It's really just who I am. So anybody that's sort of hesitating because it's folk music, it's pretty much the same as far as I'm concerned.
Shout out to being yourself. Shout out to wanting to wear maybe dresses and play guitar instead of wanting to, you know, have to dress like a thot. I realize that you're a feminist. I've just been looking at a couple of things on social media. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to. For me, it's like, this interview, I'm walking on eggshells in this interview because I can be so chauvinistic this time because I'm a radio / shock jock, and so I say a lot of stuff just to piss people off sometimes. So I'm trying to tame it and toning it down.
Well, I appreciate that, but I will tell you this, being a feminist is about, you know, for me, it's letting women have agency over whatever they want to do. I just had this conversation about Bessie Smith. I did a tribute song. For a Bessie Smith tribute record, right? And this reviewer of the record was talking about how, you know, Bessie Smith used to go to sex parties and Bessie Smith used to do this and Bessie Smith was a heavy drinker and did drugs and, you know, and all this. And I was like, Bessie Smith also single-handedly, you know, saved Columbia Records, you know, which he didn't mention, of course. But Bessie Smith's whatever she was doing was Bessie Smith, and it informed her art, and she is one of our preeminent progenitors of black music in this country. So, you know, I might be feminist and I might be those things, but it's, for me, it is really about letting people have complete agency and not what's called tone policing or what's called respectability politics, which is, you know, pull up your pants and they'll treat you right, which we hear a lot. That is called respectability politics, which I do not play, basically, with anybody. So, you can,
I don't recall Eric Garner's pants sagging anyway, but we'll get into that. So, talk about all that. So, listen, I'm going to read a couple of excerpts from your blog. I'm not going to read, you know, detailed into it, but I met you and I initially contacted you because I was just very impressed with the article that you wrote. I know you're a singer, and we're going to play some of your music, and we're going to get to that. But I, again, met you because I read an article that you wrote for Performer Magazine, and I was just reached out to you on social media, and you responded, and here we are. So the name of the article was Taylor Swift, Spotify, and the Musical Food Chain Myth. And in the article, you basically, at first I thought, I read an article like maybe not even 2 weeks before I read yours, on the side of bolstering Spotify's, I don't know which one, I can never get it right. Spotify, I say Spotify today. Today I say Spotify. They bolstered Spotify's point of view from the whole Taylor Swift controversy, right? And then, kind of had me like, okay, I can understand. They are trying to, you know, they are showing love and blah, 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 blah. And then I read your article and I felt like a fucking idiot, right? I read your article and I felt like a complete idiot. Hold on a second, my bad. I'm gonna turn that back down. Someone was fooling with my settings. I read the article and I felt like a complete idiot. And I was like, you know what? Nah. Fuck Spotify. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I changed my mind. That's the other team. You know what I'm saying? I changed sides. Tell you what happened. Let me read a couple of excerpts from your article. And in it, you break down very skillfully what it's like. You walk people through your life as an independent artist from a financial standpoint, which is what a lot of people don't do. They just talk about the creative side. You know what I'm saying? I'm so nice. And they bitch and moan about everybody who's not nicer than them and why they should be nice and why you should. But no one ever breaks down numbers about how much it costs to live, how much it costs to tour. I was really blown away by the realism about the fact that one night you told me you had to take the L and you had to pay out $1,500 because 12 people showed up to your show. No one in rap is going to actually say that out loud. Rappers are going to Instagram the 12 people that came with them over there getting turned up in the club and say, this bitch packed. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Rappers.
Right.
But let me tell you, it was refreshing to read your article, right? And so
you
a lot of different things. And I hope people that are listening will go back and read the article, okay? Mm-hmm. But this is one thing you say, yo, this is my reality and the reality of the many artists that you care about. And at this point, you're talking about the financial woes of having to maintain rent and pay out gigs and not being able to tour because it doesn't pay anymore. You're not making any money off music licensing. And you say,
right.
I'm sorry. And you say, I'm sorry if you think so, but music isn't free. It costs money to make, and it costs money to support via touring. It's a life cycle. Mm-hmm. And this life cycle is how you used to get your CDs out and how I used to see your fans 2 to 3 times a year in some places, right? And all the money went to bills, all the money went to touring, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's where Taylor Swift fits into your argument. It says, I'm seeing a lot of chatter about Taylor Swift and a supposed greed. And if you're saying it, you're probably saying it because Taylor Swift is already incredibly wealthy. But what about artists who aren't? If you or your friends are indeed one of those people, I challenge you and them to go to work for a year, bust your butt, do a good job, you know, maybe even a great job, and then accept half a year's pay or less from your boss. I further challenge you to pay your bills and keep your other financial commitments from that same pay, all while keeping your enthusiasm for your job, which is kind of essential for you to do your job, right? Go ahead.
Yes.
That one paragraph right there, and I pretty much read it word for word, is so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Think this is the reality of it is now in 2014, in my opinion, is this article doesn't just apply to indies. It applies to majors now at this point because of how bad things are going at the major labels, right?
Right.
So I think you take this article and lay it on top of some rappers that you see on TV and at the Grammys because they are indeed not making any money or not getting paid either because they have fans, quote-unquote. I call you're not really a fan if you don't support the artist and buy the music, you know? So I kind of question people's call themselves fans at this point. Anybody, you know. But at this point in the game, I think this article implies to so many people that you actually see on TV. Whereas in general, it states that it's hard out here for artists all the way around, indie, folk, whatever. Outside of maybe country, those guys are just caking over there in country. I don't know what they got going.
They're taking over for a lot of reasons. But one, you know, their recession music. You know what I mean? It's a poor man's down music, and they're speaking to everybody right now. I mean, we've been in this recession for, I don't know what, going on 6 years now.
Right.
So, you know, that's one of the reasons that country music is doing so well, because it's working class music. So at one point, it was just hip-hop and just country. One of the major independent distributors in the country dropped everybody, every genre, except for country and hip hop, because they were the only two making music.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know someone's listening and saying, well, hip hop is about life and it's about the struggle too. And you guys are right. You know what I'm saying? But it's too much other BS that's mixed in with it. That's the problem. The life music is getting flooded and drowned out by the powers that be, not by the artists. The artists, there are plenty of artists. This is my platform, this K1's Radio. It's a platform that's built to serve you up some of the stuff that you don't get a chance to hear. Hopefully, you tune in. But we understand that what she said to be true about hip-hop, hip-hop is music for the streets. It's just too much bottle popping and Ferraris pulling up, turning up on a Tuesday. That's kind of flooding out, you know, how the fuck am I going to pay my bills this week music. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I don't know where along the line it happened, but there started to be a disconnect from it being about who we are to about something we wanted to be. And then that wasn't real. I mean, we've heard artists, you know, going bankrupt and, you know, TLC, biggest example of folks going bankrupt because they signed the wrong contract and weren't getting paid and couldn't pay rent and couldn't, you know, all the clothes were borrowed, all of the, you know, the cars are borrowed, the houses are borrowed, and none of it was actually owned. And, you know, there's another band, Hootie and the Blowfish, which I feel like people would know listening to this. Darius Rucker, his drummer couldn't pay his rent at the height of their fame because he wasn't on the publishing. You know, he was just getting paid to play drums and wasn't on the publishing, so he wasn't making any money. So there's a huge disconnect from what people see with artists, and they see all the flash, and then there's not that's not really what's going on because it's just an image. It's just something to sell records. It's selling, you know, this dream life, which I get, you know, I get to a certain extent. You know, I certainly, you know, listening to Madonna and Prince and Michael Jackson and all that and fantasizing about, you know, having pearls and diamonds and all that kind of stuff, but it wasn't something that spoke to me as a person. I wasn't going out and saying that's how I want to live. It was just a fantasy. Some people take that, you know, seriously. And they don't understand that these artists, a lot of them, are living in poverty. And not, you know, of course not, you know, abject poverty, but, you know, not living certainly anywhere near the lifestyle that they're projecting on screen.
Right, exactly. Now, you've got, there's another part that I want to slide down a little bit. And please, if you don't know, if you haven't read this article and you're listening to this, I'm like, that's why I continually promoted the link to the article with this. It was deliberate, people. I wanted you to read the article first so you can read the article in context to this conversation. So you go on and you talk a little bit more, and I don't want to tell everybody because I want people to read something, you know, for change. And you say, you bowled it out. I've got a job. Thank you very much. And the point is, you go on to say, the point is, we haven't just given up. It's not that we don't want to do it anymore. It is painfully honest and simple math that mostly prevents me and others like me from doing what we do. When you're talking about why some artists aren't putting out music, why some artists aren't touring, why you aren't touring. And you go on to say, and before we get flooded with any snarky retorts like get a job or, you know, whatever, I'll say this. First, I have a job, one that I'm fairly good at and one that I've had for 22 years, over half your life. And second, what if Bob Marley or Bob Dylan, Kurt Cobain, or Joni Mitchell, or Mozart, Frank Zappa, Joan Jett, Diana Ross, Prince, or Aretha Franklin had actually someone undoubtedly and repeatedly when they said to them, get a job. And for you people who don't know who any of those people are, just go ahead and say, what if, just add Tupac or Biggie or whoever else you grew up on that was Ice Cube or NWA, anybody that's listening to this, Mary J. Blige, Jodeci, R. Kelly, anybody that you can associate with, put them in context with that statement. What would your life look like? What happens to the first dance at your wedding to that special song, the one that made you realize you loved her? Or the song you hum to your baby because it's the only one that makes him less fussy? What would you be distracted by in an elevator ride with your creepy coworker? And how, pray tell, would you know when Jaws or Jason or Darth Vader is coming so you can yell your futile warnings at the screen, right? Okay, granted, the last two examples sound frivolous, but there's serious considerations to make when you consider how music plays an integral and inseparable role in your life, from the fundamental to the moment to the momentous. That's something to protect. That's something to respect. And I'll go on and add my little last line. That's something that you pay for. It's not free.
Yes. Amazing. Yes, great, and that's, you know, like, Thank you. I appreciate that. And it was, you know, it was really an off the cuff thing because I had been just like you reading this, you know, all these responses to Taylor Swift, basically pulling a serious move. I mean, that's a serious move that she made and I was impressed by it, but you know, I always dig first before I, you know, speak on things or before I comment on things. So I did a little digging and started looking around and started hearing this. And I was like, okay, people are sort of getting it. And I'm glad that someone this big has said it because, you know, people like me, you know, that's the one, well, not the one, but it's one of many sort of the fallback of not having that big a voice. You know, you just don't get listened to. You know, people think you're complaining. People think, oh, you should get a job. People think, oh, you should just, you know, do something else. Maybe music isn't for you. Maybe you're not good enough. And those are usually the responses that you get. When somebody as big as Taylor Swift does something like this, it was really important for me to, I was basically speaking to my fan base. I really had no intention of this going beyond my fan base because, you know, I've been talking to them about this stuff for years, and I've been talking to them about, you know, what's going on with me, my music career, and that's one of the great things about my, that's a good thing about my career, that I have that connection with them, that I have that open dialogue. So this piece was originally just a Facebook update that I was like, I'm so glad this is happening because now it's time for me to remind you guys of what I've been trying to explain to you, but explain in a way that sort of is from an independent, you know, purely independent view. And yes, it is, you know, revealing things like only 12 people have come to my shows and I didn't have money for this. That's hard. You know, that's not, you definitely don't want to walk around people thinking that you're broke. But it's also just as frustrating for people to think that you have money when you don't, because there is an expectation of what you're supposed to be doing and who you're supposed to be that you can't keep up. And that is not emotionally, that's not a good emotional place to be in. So, and that's what I'm saying, folk music for me allows me that that leeway. I get to be authentic in all things at all times. And so I don't have to pretend with my fan base. But I think people just don't understand. There were some people who misinterpreted my piece and retweeted it with, you know, fans suck and they should stop screwing over artists. And I was like, that's not really the tone of the piece. It's just that people don't know. You know, I don't, if I walked into, you know, an operation room tomorrow, you know, trying to give somebody open heart surgery, there's not much I can do there because I just don't know. And it's kind of the same thing. We can't expect fans to understand how the business of music works because they're just seeing the end product. They're just seeing what winds up on their Facebook feed, what winds up in ads around their Yahoo and Gmail accounts. They're just being fed these things and not understanding how much of that they are actually generating, which is also one of the biggest points I wanted to make, and to empower fans and say, you are actually at the top of this food chain. You are not just sort of this passive receptacle for anything that pop music culture gods decide to throw down for you to consume, that you have a tremendous amount of control over not only what you consume and how you consume it, but you have a lot of control because the demand, your demand, dictates all of these trends. It's not really the other way around. And I know it seems that way, and I know a lot of people will disagree with me on that. But you can just see how Facebook ads are aggregated by you clicking on something, and the ad will come up. You are aggregating, and you are the arbiter of all that is sitting in front of you. So I wanted to tell people that too.
Yeah, listen, now as far as it pertains to maybe people that are listening that never listened to K100 Radio ever until now that you're on it, and some of your fans, and hopefully some of the people that's listening. But that's a ongoing mission, part of our mission statement here at K100 Radio, because this internet radio itself, and more specifically this radio station, was created as an alternative, and it just kills me. You don't realize what you just said, how many people are oblivious to what you just said, because I will literally sit, I'm the programming director here. Everybody who knows me knows that. And I'll sit in a room full of people and literally look at them in disbelief as they complain about what's on the radio. And I'm sitting there looking at them. So you're going to complain to me about what's on the fucking radio? You do know you do know I own K100 Radio, and you can listen to my radio station, and none of the stuff that you're complaining about, and none of the music that you're complaining about, and none of the lack of variety, and none of the repetitive programming, and none of that goes on at the platform that I built specifically to combat that. But, yeah, you're going to sit and complain. So, obviously, you're still listening to that same radio when you have an alternative right here in front of you, but you don't do it. You choose not to, right? Whether you can or can't, or you choose not to. That's so important to the whole grand scheme of everything. Everything that people can say is wrong with hip hop. Everything that people can say is wrong with the industry in general, with the media, with radio, with everything. People have the power. No, people don't understand that it's hard to have a conversation with somebody and try to break down that radio works by ads and ads work by listeners. And whatever the listeners request is what they play so they can keep the people listening. So the advertisers can justify paying them for ads because they got a lot of people listening. You know what I'm saying? It's so simple in its grand scheme, but when you try to pitch that to someone and say, well, the DJs are killing hip hop or the rappers need to stop, I'm like, wait a minute. No song can be popular on radio without people liking it, without people listening to it. No song can be popular in the club without people flooding the dance floor when it come on. So you can't sit here and arbitrarily blame rappers and artists for the image that hip hop portrays when if they go out and play, if Nelly slides a visa through a chick's ass on that video and no one watches it gets no play. But when a million people click on that and reshare it, that's why it's popular. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So, and then that just gets perpetuated because they're just going to – the thing about, you know, the music industry and just marketing in general, like – I mean, I'm talking about just about anything here. The thing about marketing is that you do what works. You find a common denominator and you repeat that. That's how things get sold. That's business. That part of it I understand. When I was getting signed in 1999, I actually had started the whole process of getting signed. And, you know, I get all of that. I get that it is a business. It's a business that's skewed towards the people, you know, to the record labels, not necessarily the artists. But it's, you know, it is definitely a business model. It has a very clear objective and so on and so forth. But people don't understand that this it becomes an echo chamber, which means you're just sitting in a room and whatever keeps bouncing back and whatever's coming back at the highest frequency, that is what is going to keep getting churned out. And then it's also like a copy of the copy where things just start getting more and more and more and more degenerated. So you go from somebody like, you know, KRS-One and DJ Scott LaRock and you know, Q-Tip, Tribe Called Quest and all those folks, and you wind up with something completely different and bastardized, you know, way on the other end of that, because they hear, you know, I'll use KRS-One as an example. He's talking about the streets. Now, he's talking about the streets, but then you talk about somebody shooting up this person and shooting up that person and the cops this and I'm selling my this and selling drugs and all that, and it gets turned into something completely different. Although it is still about the streets, it turns into something completely different. And so the record companies see that. They see, oh, if we just narrow that down to this segment, to this message, to this, we can sell XYZ. If we try to make that too broad, if we try to make it too conscious, that's only a segment of people that's going to listen to that. And they look at that, and they listen to that, and that's what winds up happening. So you are controlling it to a certain extent, but then what's happening is that it gets aggregated by the labels, and people just need to sort of take a step back and understand their consumption and understand what they're consuming. And, you know, there's a lot of people that just don't care. You know, there's a lot of people that are just going to keep listening to whatever they want to listen to and looking at the videos, and that's who's going to get sold to. So it's up to the people who don't want to see that, who don't want who want a higher level of artistry coming out of the genres that they listen to make that clear by not listening, by being vocal when something is offensive, or I shouldn't say offensive because art is, you know.
Right.
That's all relative. I mean, you know, offensive is not really the right word, but you know, they find objectionable, I'll say. They should make it clear and see who's listening and see if it changes. Go ahead.
Let me say this in response to something you just said before I lose my point. I don't want to lose it, okay? So said, I think you said, you, at the, I think the labels at their own peril took that route, what you just said, when they said, well, we're gonna make this kind of music because it's quote unquote AKA popular. But I think they didn't realize, or maybe they knew. So this is why sometimes I'm a bit of a conspiracy theorist, and this is why sometimes I really do believe that there was a literal sabotage in the genre of hip hop for a lot of reasons, because of numerous reasons, that it made too many young black males rich, or young black women rich, or whatever, not even rich, but get them to a point where they had too much social power and was able to reach too many people before social media, before it even existed, right? So I say that to say this. I think labels at their own peril in the genre of hip-hop, and even a little bit in R&B, did what you just said and said, well, yeah, we're going to make this particular kind of music, and we're going to target these people who like this, not really sitting back and thinking, exactly who are you targeting? Are you, when you make ignorant music, per se, music that doesn't really have a real message and everything is just kind of based on just sheer ignorance and just love of a beat and a hook and a simple hook, those aren't generally, in general now, now I'm not trying to point anybody out, but in general, that same person who only listens to music for that thin layer of it are also the same group of people who feel like, I'm not paying for that. You know, they're at their own peril. They didn't target the actual people who listen to the words and get pulled into the emotion of a song. Those are the people who tend to buy the record. And the only way you get invoked with emotion from a song, I've learned as an artist and for most of my career, I've noticed, is the words. The production will make you dance. The beat will make you dance and head. But it's the words that connect with the emotion in a person and makes them click on that PayPal button. You know what I'm saying?
And I want to say something, you know, before I lose my point, for something you just said, how hip-hop was being orchestrated and sort of worked against in the industry because it was, you know, folks were getting rich from it and getting too much success. There's a quote by Audre Lorde, who was a poet and a writer, and she says, "The master's tools will never dismantle the master's house." And it's a really important, it's one of the things that, when I was deliberating about getting signed, I kept that quote very near me. And what I kept seeing is that I had to change. I had to do all the changing. I had to dress a certain way if I wanted to get signed. I had to be in the closet if I wanted to get signed. I had to be a little more R&B if I wanted to get signed. I had to do a whole bunch of stuff. But you know, I kept trying to explain to these people that, you know, you like my music because it's honest. Not because I'm the most brilliant songwriter or the most brilliant guitar player in the world. It's because it's honest. And if you keep changing all these little things, the honesty goes away, the music changed, you don't like it anymore. And what I felt was, you know, the master's tools will never dismantle the master's house, is that I would just become a tool for them and not ever be able to dismantle this paradigm, this, you know, the industry itself. And the only way that I could do that was from the outside. The only way that I could, you know, remain a songwriter, have over 200 songs. I don't know that I would have over 200 songs if I had gotten signed, you know, in 1999, 15 years ago. I don't know if I would have kept writing. I don't know, you know, I can't possibly know. But what I do know is that there's no way that I would have been able to speak any truth, whether it's about the black community or anything, because I speak on that too in my music. I wouldn't be able to speak on the things that meant something to me in that forum. So I think it's really important for, you know, people to understand that, as well as how they're being used to perpetuate these things, basically.
And I'm gonna end on this last note, and we're going to change gears real quick, and I'm going to play some of your music. But before I go, I'm going to this one last part of the article over the air, and hopefully this will spur people to go over there and click that link that I shared numerous times. How can consumers reverse the course? Right? This is for everybody that's listening live, or is going to be listening to the podcast or the replay or whatever, right? As a consumer fan, you are at the top of this food chain, not the bottom. You are the subject of the whims of popular culture. You are the arbiter of it. If you want to see less fluff in the music industry, if you want to see your artists remain authentic, creative, and prolific beings, and if you want them to come back to your hometowns, one, start buying our music again. Digital, hard copy, doesn't matter. Just pay for it. If you could pay $4 for a coffee, you could pay $9.99 for something meaningful that you'll enjoy forever. How the hell is Starbucks win, but music isn't? Number two, stop using streaming services that only pay us 0.00006 per listen if you don't own our music, either via a legal download or a hard copy, right? Three, and this is important, set your DVRs on your favorite show nights and go to our concerts. For the love of God, you have told some woman to literally miss an episode of Scandal.
I don't book my shows on Thursday. I'll give them that. I'm not booking the show on Thursday. I know better now. But the truth is, like, yeah, folks will be like, oh, I'm sorry I missed you last night. It was the finals of, you know, American Idol. I'm like, no, that has got to stop. You know, it's just got to stop. That is ridiculous. Because then, you know, what they're saying is that people, you know, the American Idol folks and whatever channel that's on Fox, I think, they know how many people are tuning in and what they're not doing instead. So they're never going to support what they're not supporting. You know, they're never going to put their money towards anything that's going to divert the attention away from those million-plus folks that are tuning in.
I won't lie. I won't lie. As a fan of a show called Sons of Anarchy, it would be hard-pressed for you to get me to come out and do it. I'm telling you right now, if it's not paying me tonight, there's no way you can get me to leave my house between unless you pay me something, and it's gonna be a nice little
bit. That is hilarious. This is, you know, and I'll be honest too. I have my shows like that. Like, you know, season finale, Breaking Bad. I don't know. There's not much, you know, not much I'm leaving the house for either. But I personally know better than to book my shows on. You know, I've got a show tomorrow night. It's Wednesday. Like, it's, you know, midwinter break. Nothing's on. Yeah, everybody, let's go. Wednesday night.
I'm going to tell people about that. I'm going to play one of your songs right now, and the name of this song is called Perfect. And then we're going to come back, end it up. And we're going to talk about a little social commentary,
a little talk.
Something I'm going to ask you on the air live.
Okay, all right.
A lot of people are going to look at me like, really, Blizzard? But you know, my Facebook social media fans, because I'm so vocal about a lot of things, but I'm going to ask you about it, and I feel like I want to get your answer.
Okay.
But this song. Okay. It's called Perfect. And tell me about this record. Is this you playing the guitar live on the song?
Yeah, this is me. I play guitar on everything.
Right.
I've been playing for 20 years. So, yes, it's me playing, it's me singing, it's me background. I don't play, you know, drums or bass or anything like that. And the drummer on this is Tom Knight, who used to actually be TLC's drummer, and Deborah Killings, who... she's played with everybody, Outkast, everybody,
right?
As well. I'm trying to think who else. And then, yeah, it's just me and background vocals. So.
Okay, all right. So this song, this is Dory Robert. This is one of her songs. And again, in the genre, folk genre, but, you know, she's still, was India Arie folk, was that her genre?
India Arie was something, they created a genre for her called neo-soul. Because it was the same thing, you know, India and I both came out of Atlanta. Actually, me, India, and John Mayer were predicted as the next three artists to come out of Atlanta around that time, 1999. And it was the same for India. You know, it was, you know, well, you have this guitar and you're a black woman, like, you can be the next Tracy Chapman. And that's all it ever is like, you can be the next Tracy Chapman. And, you know, for them, she was part of the Earthseed collective here, and they sort of created this neo soul thing, and she was one of the progenitors of that. So it kind of got black folks past the guitar, which, you know, irritates me. I'm like, if Vanilla Ice can be a rapper, I certainly can play guitar. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's also, you know, I want to talk to black folks about that. You know, if they can let Vanilla Ice, if we can let Vanilla Ice through as a rapper, y'all certainly can support some black women playing guitar. I mean, come on now.
I can't even begin to fathom the amount of resistance and racism you've met at some of the venues in that genre.
Yeah, that's a whole other interview.
I don't have time. Only 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
This song is called Perfect. This is Dory Roberts. 347-934-0966. If you guys are listening, I really would like for you guys to call in. And, of course, when you call in, press the number one. And I'd like to get you guys' feedback off the music. And also, just give me a couple of words about what you think about the article, if you read it, and this interview right here. I want to. I'll take a couple calls when I come back before we jump into what I really want to talk about. And then I got to hurry up because Vic XL is coming up at 5 o'clock with the Ride and Dirty Radio Mix. And this conversation was so great. It just went on and on, and it's fucking 4:45. Crap. I blew that time management thing bad this time. Tony Roberts, perfect. You're not rocking with the best of them. This is K100 Radio, Direct Line Artist Interview. Turn it up. Ow.
You are now tuned into K100 Radio, Hip Hop and R&B.
K100 Radio, Hip Hop and R&B.
So I'm just going to take that and slide it over here into the play bin. Real slick like. Like, I ain't even really know. Like, it's our hours. I've been up on that. Y'all sleeping. Y'all late. I've been had that. Y'all late. www.entertainment.com. Follow me on Twitter. Doria Roberts on Twitter at DoriaRoberts. Doria Roberts. At Doria Roberts. That's her IG. Hopefully she follows you back. And, yes, and on Twitter, the same thing, at Doria Roberts. Again, click that excellent link. Make sure if you really like the song and like the music, you support it. 347-934-0966. That's the number down to the show. And I got a couple people on the phone lines. I want to take a couple calls, Doria, and see what people think about the music before we actually jump to another subject for these last hot little 10 minutes I got. I so screwed up. The conversation, you're having fun, right? The conversation was so good. You know, time flies. Yeah. What are we going to do? All right. Let's see here. 404-933. Welcome to K1's Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what up, boy? It's Jack Moon, man.
Oh, Jackie Moon. What's going on, homie? What's popping with you?
Ain't nothing, bro. I'm so glad I called in, man, because I actually almost forgot.
Right.
And then I peeped your Facebook page. And like, oh, yeah, it is at 4 o'clock. And
right.
So like, I really like the music, man. You already know I'm going to like it. But
yeah,
thank you.
It's really dope. It is really dope.
Well, thank you for calling in. Thank you.
Did you
catch any of the interview, by the way?
That's what I was highly impressed by that as well, man, because it was the little pieces I caught. I caught about maybe 10 minutes of it.
Right.
But the information that the artist was giving, and I'm sorry, just like, I don't know your name.
Doria Roberts.
Okay. Yeah, the information that Doria was giving was so potent as far as, you know, the whole culture of our music and the positive music that we try to put out, and how the consumer, like you were saying, how the consumer is going to have to change in order for us to pretty much survive. And, you know, that social commentary that I feel is highly needed.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, thank you, homie, for calling in the K1's Radio. I really appreciate it, man. If you like that music, please at least go check it out. No, Dory, let me ask you this.
You already know.
For anyone that's listening, if they want, because you're like, okay, your middle finger in Spotify, like, get those guys. Where what format, if they want to check out your music before they decide to click that pay button, do you suggest that they find you on Reverb Nation? What format? Where if they want to go, just listen and make a decision.
Well, let me say this real quick. Streaming and on Spotify and Google Play and all that is not what I'm saying mutually exclusive from buying music. You can stream, but you should also buy. So that is one of the other things that sort of got misconstrued. And I said, you know, don't stream our music unless you already own it.
Right.
So doing both is important. iTunes, of course, is going to be the best because, you know, I get the most money from iTunes as far as, like, my distributor, that the pass-through is maybe, you know, it's like a 15 cents difference, 20 cents difference. So that's the biggest one. And as far as anyone else, you know, Google Play pays the most for streaming. Spotify pays close to the least amount. So as far as streaming goes, Google Play is going to be the best place too. But iTunes, as far as downloading, is definitely by far, for most artists, especially since I own my publishing, nobody owns anything that I've written ever. So I get everything once it goes through, you know, any administrative costs for my main distributors. So that's always going to be the best place. Now, to listen, you know, Reverb Nation is fine. And again, streaming is not the problem. It's streaming only that is the problem. So as long as you do both, you know, you can discover artists on Spotify, and that's great for that. But it should not be, you know, I said to this guy, I was like, you know, what if all of a sudden Starbucks was like, you can have as much coffee as you want, you know, for $2 a month. There would be no more Starbucks. You know what I mean? Like, it's that clear, you know.
It's crazy. It's crazy that people literally put will literally put more, I guess, more into coffee than they would music. And like, I drink coffee. Love coffee.
Yeah.
I drink
Great.
I know for a fact that coffee is not as important in my life as music in any way, shape, or form, because I watch movies. I love movies. I like certain TV shows. And, of course, well, look what the hell I do. Obviously, I love music. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, there's no way if I can pay for my – I don't do Starbucks because they're just ridiculous, but I do Dunkin' Donuts, which is not too cheap. You know what I'm saying? And, and they taste great, though, seriously. But I pay for coffee. And so when you said Starbucks and you put it into that context, it's like, seriously, bro, people can pay for coffee but not music, something that they're going to hear a thousand again and again. I'm going to take one more call. We got more people on the phone line real quick, though, because I want to make sure people that's calling, you know, want to show you some love. I want to make sure you hear it. 857-615, you're on the air. What's popping? Who's this?
What's going on, man?
What's going on? This is DJ Obens, one of our DJs here at K-Fans Radio.
You already know, man. What's going on?
Absolutely, man. So what do you think about Dorian's song, homie, DJ Obens?
Dorian's song's a nice song, homie, bro. For real, man. I'm going live. This Saturday, so Doris, I'm going to need you to do me a favor. So email me that song so I can jump on the radio on Saturday. I really like that song. It's a nice song. I like the smooth. I like your voice and the song. The beat is pretty nice. So I'm going to need you to like, email me that song Saturday. Go on the radio Saturday. The required Eastern time. I'll be on the radio. You could tune in. You know what I'm saying? But I like that interview. It seems like you've been grinding for a long time.
Oh, yeah. I've been here for a minute.
It's pretty good. I like that.
Yeah, so, well, on 20 years now.
It's pretty good. Keep it up.
Thank you.
I like it. So I'm gonna need you email me that song on Saturday because I'm going live on Saturday on K100 Radio. So make sure you email me that song. I make sure I jump in the mix by on Saturday.
Okay, we'll do.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
She'll see it, and I'll send it to you also, DJ Obens, to make sure you get it.
Cool.
You guys, absolutely. Make sure you check out DJ Obens. He goes live on K100 Radio with the live mix show every Saturday at 3:00, and homie does great. He mostly, of course, you can hear it in his voice. He's from the islands, and he goes mostly a lot of reggae, soca, or whatever. But he also does hip hop and R&B stuff in his mix. He has a variety of music that he plays. Sometimes he has guests and guest DJs, and it's crazy. But DJ Obens, I salute him. He works really hard. He represents the brand really well, and he goes in. Big ups to DJ Obens, representing Beantown in the building. Shouts out to Beantown. Thanks for calling in, all right? I don't know if I have any callers. Well, I'm going to go ahead and just move on because I got 3 minutes left, Doria, and we didn't talk about anything. I said that we were going to talk. You know what I'm saying?
We were going to
get our social activism on this thing. We had it all. We was going to tell y'all.
I'll figure it out.
Didn't quite work like that. Sorry, I apologize to my people because I did say we were going to talk about more than an interview, but at the same time, it was just a lot of information that needed to be said and a lot of stuff that needed to be said, and I wanted to make sure she got a chance to say it. But, of course, make sure you hit her up. Tell them about the show that you got coming up tomorrow. But I want to make sure you get that in there, too.
I have a live show in Atlanta at a place called Eddie's Attic in downtown Decatur. But for those of you who are not in Atlanta or can't make it to the show, I've also been broadcasting my shows online on a platform called StageIt.com, stage as in stage, it.com. And you just search my name, and you can actually watch 30 minutes of the show plus a 15-minute encore logging on line. And this is sort of one of the things that I've been doing to offset not being able to tour. So my fans in Europe and Taiwan and, you know, in Portland, Oregon, and places that I haven't been able to get to still get to see me perform. I still get paid for the show, and I don't have to leave my living room. So that's been a really great resource. And if you are in that same position, you should check out StageIt.com as an alternative way to get to your fan base or to just, like, start performing if you can't get shows and venues. It's a great way to get some practice and build up your fan base. So you can see the show at 8:45 online, but it's at doors are at 6:30. Shows at 8:00 at Eddie's Attic Live with my band, the Black Eyed Susans. And it's tickets are at eddiesattic.com for that.
Absolutely. So I've got to do my music review segment tomorrow. So hopefully after it, they'll come by and catch you and actually meet you. It's funny when we sit and we had these conversations with people and we never met them before. But it's the beauty of internet and radio. You know what I'm saying? We have people on all the time that I don't even really know most of the people who I interview, honestly, like personally, like forever. But always great interviews, always goes down. And we had a lot of fun with you today. Before we go though, we've got like a couple of minutes. I can hold off Vic XL
okay.
for. I wanted to talk to you about everything that's going on with this police brutality and get your points of view on it. When it comes to, I see that you, we in general, when it comes to that, we have a lot of the same views. I look at your social media page.
Yeah.
And obviously, we have a lot of similar trains of thought to that.
Mm-hmm.
But give me your point of view and give me what do you think should be done to combat this problem in America with people of color, especially, being targeted and being unfairly treated when it comes down to law enforcement and injustice in this country. And the Eric Garner decision to not indict a cop who obviously murdered a guy on camera.
Mm-hmm. Well, I personally think exactly what's going on right now needs to happen. This is getting people's attention. When establishments, whether it's government, whether it's a business, when they see that their status quo is being threatened, they start listening. Other than that, it's just business as usual. So I support the protesting. We black folks, meaning we come also from a very long line of this type of social movement. And some of it's not pretty. And that's just how it's always looked. I mean, a lot of people were quoting MLK, the day after the Ferguson non-indictment came out, and which honestly was just getting on my nerves because it just was like, oh, turn the other cheek. And, what would, Dr. King would be ashamed of, I was like, no, I think Dr. Martin Luther King would be ashamed that his quotes are being used to silence people and to shame them into being silenced.
Right.
When silence is not really going to work this time. So my main thing is getting the attention of the establishment. And then, then we really do have to get our legal folks. My friend just said her daughter wants to be a judge after seeing all of this. She's 8 years old. And I was like, exactly. But we need to get our legal. Yes. She's like, I don't want to be a singer. I want to be a judge now. I was like, oh, my God. But, we need to get our legal folks to start dismantling the problems with our justice system, which is, people say the justice system is broken. The justice system is working exactly as it was intended to work. Please don't get that twisted. So what we need is to start dismantling the justice system as it works and to rebuild the justice system because it's definitely come to light since the Trayvon Martin verdict. People have been more vocal. This has been going on forever. There was a Richard Pryor, Richard Pryor clip, and he's talking about LA cops doing chokeholds in 1978. This has been going on for a while. This isn't new. It's just that now we have more means to get the word out faster and to get some change actually happening if we can keep this momentum. That's mainly what I'm looking for, that it doesn't die down, that Christmas comes and the New Year comes and we're all fat and happy, from the holidays, and then come January 1st, January 2nd, we've all forgotten. So what I'm hoping is that, and I think that's part of one of the reasons why this all came down when it did, that they thought the holidays would sort of quell and keep all of this sort of under wraps, and they were sadly wrong. They were really, really, really wrong about that. So I'm hoping that we just keep this momentum, keep our legal folks that are our allies, that are on our side, and get them to start actually and actively dismantling this and rebuilding it from a place of equality, with the base of equality, real equality.
All right. And well, I love the answer, and I wish we had more time to really touch on that.
Yeah.
My stream just pop up, and so many people just started listening. So I'm assuming either they Central Time, and they think this goes down at time. You know what I'm saying? It's like 4 o'clock. You know what I'm saying? I'm like,
it's okay.
But no, we don't know. It was plenty of people listening, but I just seen it just spike at 4 o'clock. But maybe get ready to my homie Vic XL and his Riding Dirty Radio. Dirty doesn't count. Either way it goes, I had a great time. This was a great interview. I'm going to post this over on our SoundCloud and on our website. So if you guys missed it, it was a great talk with Doria Roberts about the music industry, some of the woes of being an indie artist. I really want you guys, if you are friends with me on social media, if not, follow us on Twitter at K100_radio and the same thing on Instagram. Like our Facebook page. It's K100radio on Facebook. Just type that in, K-100radio, and you'll see us. I want you guys to follow us because I want you guys to get linked in with that article and read the article in its entirety. It's a really great read, a really great read. I want you to also connect with Doria Roberts and support her and, you know, check out some of her music. And if you like it, buy it. And that goes for her and anyone else in music, okay? If you like their music, buy the music. It costs a lot of money to make music, and I think that's the central thing I want people to take away from this. It costs money to make music, and you all of us, every human being on the planet almost, enjoys some form of music. Whatever your genre, whatever it is you like, just buy it, you know, because R&B is hurting just as well. And I know a lot of you guys are even here because of R. Kelly, okay, or Teddy Pendergrass, or whoever. A lot of you guys wouldn't even exist if your mama didn't like that song so much and your daddy didn't have that much game. So your whole existence is predicated on this. Some of y'all, if it wasn't for people talked about Jodeci lip syncing, I don't care. They can lip sync all they want to. Half of you people listening to K100 Radio right now wouldn't even be here if your mama wasn't fiending. Okay? Get this shit. Put it all in context. Doria Roberts, thank you for rocking with me up here in K100 Radio.
Thank you for having me on.
All right. And if you guys are in the Atlanta area, and hopefully I can myself, you go out and check her show out. And I'm going to check out that Stage It platform because I never heard of it until you mentioned it. So you'll look into that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you for tuning in to K100 Radio. We're getting ready to go. Vic XL is coming up. Dirty Dozen. All right. The top 12 inch countdown. And again, I get so much people giving me grief about Vic XL's Dirty Dozen. Like, these are people, those people, they already got record deals. They're on the radio. It doesn't matter. They're still independent. Did you know the Migos just got signed? They were independent. I mean, say what you want to say about their music, but those guys were independent artists. Rich Homie Quan, he had Rich Homie Quan on his countdown for a while. And people were like, man, yeah, him every day, how he independent? Because he ain't have a deal. He did it all the smart way. Him, Yo Gotti, a lot of these other rap guys, they were killing the game and they have no record deals. So Vic XL's top 12 indie countdown, the top 12 indie artists in the nation with the major buzz that don't have a record deal, that's not backed by a major label. That's the predication of his mix show. So stop saying you should hear your homeboy over there on the block rolling up an L at the bodega and shit, thinking he's the hottest motherfucker out. bitch. Just put the fucking book in and get hot. I don't know what the hell to tell you. This is K100 Radio. New J. Cole, and then we're going to jump into it. This is a joint called Apparently off the new album. Shout out to J. Cole for saying something that, what real quick, Doria, J. Cole said something about white hip-hop artists that don't about black issues. Just like in 30 seconds, what do you think about that?
I'm not surprised. I mean, it's a commodity, and that commodity ends when anything crosses a certain line. If it can't be packaged and sold, it's not going to be said.
Interesting. Touché.
Yeah.
All right, Doria Roberts, we out of here, man. Thanks for tuning in to K100 Radio. J. Cole, new joint, Apparently, and then Vic XL is coming up with the Dirt Dozen Top 12 Indie Countdown. Thanks, everybody, for riding with us, man. This is K100 Radio. I'm out.
This is K100 Radio, giving you the best hip-hop and R&B mixes.
I keep my head high. I got my wings to carry me. I don't know freedom. I want my dreams to rescue me. I keep my faith strong. I ask the Lord to follow me. I've been unfaithful. I don't know why you call on me. This is my canvas. I'ma paint it how I want it, baby. Oh, this is my canvas. I'ma paint it how I want it. What they teach you, 'cause there is no right or wrong, only a song. I like to write alone, be in my zone. Think back to Forest Hills, no perfect home, but the only thing like home I've ever known, until they snatched it from my mama and foreclosed her on a loan. I'm so sorry that I left you there to deal with that alone. I was up in New York City chasing pennies, getting gone. Had no clue what you was going through. How could you be so strong? And how could I be so selfish? I know I could be so selfish. I could tell by how I treat you and my girl. Yeah, she's so selfless, but she put up with my ways because she love me like you do. And no, it don't always show. I love her just like I love you. And I need to treat you better. Wish you could live forever. We can spend more time together. I love you, mama.
I keep my head high. I got my wings carrying me. I don't know freedom. I want my dreams to rescue me. I keep my faith strong. I ask the Lord to follow me. Unfaithful. I don't know why you call on me.
Don't know why you call on me.